Humble Hero, Chapter 60. What is the highest position? Passover was approaching, and again Jesus turned toward Jerusalem. In his heart, he had the peace of perfect oneness with the Father's will, and with eager steps, he pressed on toward the place of sacrifice. But a sense of mystery, of doubt and fear, came over the disciples. The Savior was going before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. Again, Christ opened to the 12 his betrayal and sufferings. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again. But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. Had they not just been proclaiming everywhere, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand," had not Christ himself given to the 12 the special promise of positions in high honor in his kingdom? And had not the prophets foretold the glory of the Messiah's reign? In the light of these thoughts, his words were about betrayal and persecution, and death seemed vague and shadowy. Whatever difficulties might come, they believed that he was soon to establish his kingdom. John and his brother James had been among the first group who had left home and friends to be with him. Their hearts seemed linked with his. And in the warmth of their love, they longed to be nearest to him and his kingdom. Whenever he could, John took his place next to the Savior, and James longed to be honored with an equally close connection with him. Their mother had provided for Christ freely from her funds. With a mother's love and ambition for her sons, she coveted the most honored place for them in the new kingdom. Together, mother and sons came to Jesus. "What do you wish?" he questioned. "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left in your kingdom." Jesus read their hearts. He knew the depth of their attachment to him. Their love, though defiled by the earthliness of its human channel, flowed from the fountain of his own redeeming love. "Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They recalled his mysterious words, pointing to trial and suffering, yet they answered confidently, "We are able." "You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with," he said. John and James were to share with their master in suffering. James, the first of the disciples to die by the sword. John, the longest of all to endure toil and persecution. "But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father." In the kingdom of God, we do not gain high position through favoritism, nor receive it through arbitrary grants. It is the result of character. The crown and the throne are indications of a condition we reach through our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who stands nearest to Christ will be the one who on earth has drunk most deeply of his spirit of self-sacrificing love. Love that moves the disciple to give all, to live and work and sacrifice even to death for the saving of humanity. The other 10 disciples were greatly displeased. The highest place in the kingdom was just what every one of them was seeking for himself, and they were angry that the 2 disciples seemed to have gained an advantage over them. Jesus said to the offended disciples, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. In the kingdoms of the world, position meant exalting oneself. The people existed for the benefit of the ruling classes. Wealth and education were ways to gain control of the masses. The higher classes were to think, decide and rule, the lower to obey and serve. Like everything else, religion was a matter of authority, a kingdom of different principles. Christ was establishing a kingdom on different principles. He called people not to authority, but to service, the strong to help the infirmities of the weak. Power, position, talent, education placed those who possessed them under greater obligation to serve. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The principle on which Christ acted is to motivate the members of the church. His body, the greatest ones in the kingdom of Christ, are those who follow the example he has given. The words of Paul reveal the true dignity and honor of the Christian life. Though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19, chapter 10, verse 33. In matters of conscience, no one is to control another's mind or dictate his duty. God gives everyone freedom to think and to follow his own convictions. In matters where principle is involved, let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Romans chapter 14, verse 5. The angels of heaven do not come to earth to rule and to demand honor, but to cooperate with men and women in uplifting humanity. The principles and words of the Savior's teaching in John's memory to his final days, the burden of his testimony was, "This is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." 1 John chapter 3, verse 11 and 16. This spirit characterized the early church. After the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 32 and 33.